Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. We'll begin reading with verse 28. We're going to talk about today rest for the weary. That's not giving you permission to sleep during the sermon, but if you do, I'll try to wake you up anyway. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus makes a great invitation here, really to all people of all time, but because of certain circumstances, the people were weary, not physically, but mentally, emotionally, from things that were laid upon them. Okay, let's read it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, I pray your blessings over the ministry of the word of God today. We ask your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Rest for the weary. Many years ago now, I was in church. We had a little four-year-old boy that come to church. He was brought by the pastor's wife and just got him out of the their parents were not wealthy. Didn't matter. But he was a little kid that would say whatever came to his mind. If you're young enough or old enough, you can do that and not get in trouble. So I hope I don't get in trouble this morning. But he come in, and little Johnny came in, and he'd always come in and shake the hand with the preacher. Here he was, 4 years old, if that hold. And preacher said, my pastor then, he said, "How are you doing today?" And he said, quote, "I'm tired as a blamed hog," end quote. You may be tired today of various things that happened in your life, but I want to tell you something. God came to give people rest. People become weary because of their responsibilities, and some people just become irresponsible. Some people are weary from worry over children, grandchildren. Some people are weary from others' expectations of them. Some people are weary from burdens of sin, guilt, condemnation. But God wants to deliver people from weariness here and surely for eternity. You're not going to be weary in eternity, I can tell you that. You'll have all the energy you need. We have a spirit man within us, praise God, that never ages, never grows old. Praise the Lord. No sickness, sorrow, pain, or death in that land that we're headed toward. So that ought to make us happy. Praise the Lord. Rest for the weary. And if you're weary right now, let me tell you something. If you're living for Jesus, God's word to you is, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. So you can live, be confident that God is with you, God has forgiven you if you've turned your life over to Him. And you're accepted by God. Hallelujah. Rest for the weary. First of all, let's look at a welcome invitation that Jesus gives here. And the people that Jesus was ministering to, they were not really encouraged or strengthened by the spiritual leaders of their day. They were under the load of many of man-made rules given to them by the scribes and Pharisees. And we see that happen today, but the Pharisees, they were just, when they interpreted the law of Moses, they just made up whatever they thought it said. And people do that with the Bible today, but the Bible is very clear on what it says. Jesus says to the people, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And they had labored and they were heavy laden, and whatever they did, they could not fulfill the obligations that were put upon them by the religious community of that day, it would be just like if I stood here and tried to make you think that you've got to do a certain type of thing and you've got to please me. It would never happen. You could never please me, and I could never please you in everything. And I thought that might encourage you today. No. It's just that we're all human, and we need God's help. And we need God to, we need to welcome his invitation, come to me. We need to go to Jesus. When you are laden down with cares of life, my friend, you go to Jesus, you walk to Jesus, you live for him, you serve him, you give your, you pour out your heart, your soul to him in prayer. I want to tell you, he can lift the heavy burdens. God can make you victorious. God can help you, walk you through whatever you're going through. Hallelujah. But laboring or heavy laden, this describes the Jews as suffering under the load of religious responsibilities laid on them by Pharisees, scribes, priests, and religious leaders who were supposed to have the answer to everything. But rest for them would be relief from this burden. People trying to obtain spiritual rest and peace concerning eternal things, laden with guilt for being unable to live up to the legalistic rules laid on them by the Pharisees. Guilt ruled their lives because they felt like they were never good enough to be accepted by God. And they weren't, and we're not. But Christ in us is good enough. And he's the good thing in us. Praise the Lord. The only good thing in us is Christ. Praise the Lord. And so, people ruled by man-made rules, and legalism is that in definition, man-made rules to obtain righteousness. You can't obtain righteousness. It has to be given because Christ is righteous, and only by faith in his work on the cross and his sinless life can you have a sinless, be stand sinless before God in heaven. But you can with him. Let me give you an illustration of this, man-made rules. I had a cousin, still have a cousin, and she was made to feel, because of what she was raised in, United Pentecost, not Pentecost, but United Pentecost. She was made to feel like if she hadn't, there were three parts to salvation, according to their doctrine, Acts 2:38. You had to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus only, not in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but in Jesus only. And you had to speak in tongues to be saved. I can tell you something today, I'm Pentecostal and I speak in tongues, but I'm not saved because I spoke in tongues. I'm saved because of what Jesus did on the cross by faith in that. Praise the Lord. But for years, she was made completely, she was cast down because she was made to feel like, until she was 17 years of old age, because she never spoke in tongues until then, she was convinced she was going to hell because she was only two-thirds saved. She had repented and been baptized, but hadn't spoken in tongues. I'm not making fun of speaking in tongues. The Bible does tell us to worship God in the Spirit, amen, to pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit, you know, whatever God. But I think, but because of this legalistic rule that didn't have any value or any foundation in the Word of God, she believed that. So that's how legalism can take a hold of you and can begin to control your life. And this is what had happened to the scribes and to the people under the scribes and Pharisees teaching there. And there's been many legalisms. You wouldn't believe this, but Southern Baptists, Independent Baptists, when they first started out, they had so many, I mean, Independent Baptists would preach you under the pew about everything. They're not that way now. They won't preach you under the pew about anything. No, don't get me wrong. Similar to God the same way. I grew up in some in Pentecostal, and I'm still Pentecostal in the sense I believe in the Spirit baptism. I believe in the Spirit-filled life. But there were many legalisms growing up. And many people had this idea that if you were truly Pentecostal, all women had to wear long sleeves. They might sell your elbow if you didn't. They had long dresses, long hair, and most of them had a long tongue to match. Legalism. The Bible defines sin very strongly, right to the point. You read Galatians 5:19-21. I want to tell you, friend, you live by that, you'll live straight, you'll live right, you'll live holy. Let's don't get away from the Bible. But come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden. Some today may be weighed down with cares of life, something you have been unable to overcome, or some people you have not been able to please. Let me just give you a little shot of advice here. You are never going to please everybody. And that's not a requirement for heaven. Amen. I'm glad it's not. And there's some things that you may be weighed down with, some past failures that have haunted you for years, and you live in continual guilt and condemnation about something that you asked God to forgive you of years ago, and God forgave you of it. But his invitation is to you. You run to Jesus. Go to Christ. Go to the Lord. Amen. I can go to this person, that person, this doctor, that doctor. I can go to whoever. But when Jesus says, come to me, all you're heavy, labor that are heavy laden, we're talking to the Lamb of glory, the Son of God. Amen. We're talking to him who created the earth and the world. He says, come to me. I mean, friend, when things get hard in your life, you just run to Jesus. Run to him before they get hard. Come to Jesus. So that invitation is not just for people of that day, but that invitation is for you this morning and for me. And Jesus says, he further proceeds and he says, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? A yoke was a type of harness which was usually connected to a pair of oxen. And they were to pull a plow, and the yoke linked them together so they could work in harmony with one another and efficiently. Yokes were usually made of a wooden beam shaped to fit over the necks of the two animals and held in place by wooden or leather fasteners. Have you ever felt yoked? Don't say it out loud. Okay. But this made the animals go together in the right direction, the same direction, and they could pull a plow or a construction or the things that they needed that day to grow their fruit and their vegetables and sustain them. But the Pharisees had a yoke here that was not good. And a perfect illustration of the Pharisees' yoke was this. It was seen in the simple keeping the law of the Sabbath. The Bible clearly told the Israelites in the Old Testament, says, do not work on the Sabbath day, do not bear burdens on the Sabbath day, but rest and keep it a holy day. Well, scribes and Pharisees, they had to define what work meant. Carrying burdens had to be defined, and they had made up one rule: if they could milk a cow for enough milk for one swallow on a Sunday, Saturday, and that was okay, but anything else was considered work. They could carry a spoon if what they had in it weighed no more than a fig. And it was the scribes and Pharisees who were embroiled over the discussion as to whether or not on the Sabbath a mother could pick up her child, because that would be considered work. Well, this is some of the rules they had laid down. What the people were dealing with, or whether or not a crippled man could wear his wooden leg on the Sabbath. These were burdens to them. Okay. So it makes more sense when Jesus comes and says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Okay. And so we know that they would be burdened down by the yoke, spiritual, or the yoke that had been put upon them by scribes and Pharisees. But the yoke that Christ promised, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke Christ promised would be absent of all Pharisaic man-made interpretations. Jesus would make the way of righteousness to come by faith. Amen. The burden would be light. It would be compared to what the Pharisees came up with. Faith in his work on the cross is what it takes. He would bear the burdens of sin, guilt, shame, rejection, and God would, through his Son, provide love and hope and acceptance and heavenly citizenship, and would be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You can't get better than that, praise God. That's the yoke that Christ gives. Amen. He says, come to me by faith. Believe that what I did on the cross paid for your sins. I shed my blood. I paid the death penalty for your sins. You receive that by faith. Amen. You don't have to put up with the legalisms of the Pharisees. Hallelujah. And Jesus said here, verse 30, he said, I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The promise of rest, Christ's yoke would be easy and light. He didn't say it would be easy to live for God. He didn't say it would always be easy to say no to sin. But you know, if you've got Christ living in you, God gives you the power to say no to sin. Problem is, many people just don't use it. Use that power. But you got to, and God will help you if you want to. Amen. The promise of rest. Christ's yoke would be easy and light. He would make righteousness, love, peace, eternal life easy. Amen. If you had to work your way to eternal life, no one here would be saved or anywhere. There's only one who lived the perfect righteousness of the law, and that is Christ. And I don't care who they are, where they are, what title they hold, nobody has ever lived the perfect righteousness of the law. Only Christ did. And so he's the one who can give us his righteousness and give us eternal life and give us eternal hope. And Jesus would make righteousness, love, peace, eternal life available to all. Not a lifetime of strife, not a lifetime of working to be good enough for fellowship with our Creator. Rest would be by the finished work of Christ on the cross. And this crowd that Jesus was talking to and us today, they would soon have the complete work of atonement performed for them by Christ on the cross. Jesus would be the final Lamb of God that would come to be sacrificed. There would be no more bringing little lambs and goats and sin offerings to God because of animals having to die to pay for people's sins or to push them forward until the perfect sacrifice had come. Because the perfect sacrifice was Christ. When his blood was spilled on Calvary, it was good enough, my friend, to atone for the sins of millions of people and has for many years. That blood that shed on Calvary's tree atoned for the sins of thousands of people. People are born again of God's Spirit today through faith in what Jesus did on the cross, not because we worked our way to eternal life, but because Jesus did it for us. Amen. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's offered it to everyone. To whosoever will. Hallelujah. So the promise of rest here, that people can rest from their labors. That doesn't mean you don't have to live holy or live right or to say no to sin, but it simply means that God is there and he will give you the grace to live whatever you need to live. Rest would be the finished work of Christ on the cross. And Jesus is the high priest. He fulfilled three offices of prophet, priest, and king in his earthly ministry. Old Testament offices, prophet, priest, and king. And he would fulfill that role of priest. In the Old Testament priest, before the Day of Atonement came, they would have to be completely pure or holy. Their sins forgiven, they would not go into the most holy place in that temple unless they had blood to atone for their own sins first. Then blood to atone for the sins of the people. If they dared go in the most holy place in that temple without blood of an animal, they would die in the holy presence of God where the Ark of the Covenant was. But Jesus, our high priest, Hebrews 7:27, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sin, then for the sins of the people. But Christ offered of himself once for all. Amen. And so there is no continuation of an earthly priesthood whatsoever. Christ alone fulfills a priesthood. We need him. He is the one mediator between God and man. That is Christ. Book of Hebrews chapter 9, it says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, Jesus' own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For Christ has not entered the holy place with hands which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood would be presented to the Father, and it would be accepted by the Father as atonement for sin forever. and not that he, Christ, should offer himself often as priest, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another? If Jesus had to go back through the process every time we sinned, he would be continually dying. But he offered up himself once for all. All people of all ages, of all times, of all races, of all colors. And so there's atonement in the blood of Christ for whosoever will. Not for certain ones who decided to be saved, no, but Jesus offered his blood for all whosoever would receive his blood by faith as atonement for sin. It says, for then he would have to have suffered often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's what Jesus did for you, for us. And as it is appointed for men once to die, and after this, the judgment. My friend, if you don't have Christ, all that's left is judgment. But so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear the second time apart from sin for salvation. There on the cross, guilt, pardon for sin, reconciliation with God would be dealt with. And there, the doctrine of justification by faith, meaning declared not guilty by faith, where justification means that. Faith would be given to the weary, the guilty, the sinner, the downcast, those who labored endlessly to be good enough to enter God's eternal dwelling. And Jesus would pay it all and do it all for us on Christ, on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And a person could be at peace with God, could have eternal peace concerning eternal dwelling, or could be at peace here while hoping for eternal dwelling. People here could enjoy their walk, their communication, their fellowship with Jesus. They could enjoy, with joy, anticipate their being with Christ forever. And I intend to be with him forever one day. I know you do too. Praise the Lord. And all of us get there the same way through what Christ did on the cross. You can't be religious enough. You can't be a member of enough churches to earn your way to heaven. But by the simple faith in what Jesus did on the cross, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Ask for forgiveness of sin. He will come in and erase your sins and scatter your sins as far as the east is to the west and remember them against you no more. Only God can do that. Amen. Book of Revelation, it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and partake of the water of life freely. So we know that God's great invitation is for all people. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Today we're going to, in Holy Communion, we're going to cast all of our care upon him. We're going to be reminded of what Jesus did on the cross. For the Apostle Paul says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Remember the Lord's death until he comes. Praise the Lord.